God, let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. Life that shall endless be. Life that shall endless be.
Step. What I have to share with you is more of a testimony than an update. That's not Cynthia's fault. When I'm over at that table with the books, everybody has a question about a book, and I want to tell you about this one. How many of you have read this, the two Gospels? Okay, so there are people who ask me what this is all about, and I'm getting too far away? Okay, thank you. I'm associated with, he told me to be louder. I can be loud. I'll back up and be loud. I have a big mouth. I'm associated with Bob Barlow's missionary work, which is, my end of it is, handling these for him, putting them into book form, getting them published, and that. He does all the writing. It's all his work. It's all anointed by the Holy Spirit. It's all based on God's Word. And I recently had, every time someone would ask me about it, I would say, oh, there's a wonderful story goes with this. It just happened last week, you know, and then they want to know it. And I can't stand out there and tell every single one of you. So I'm telling you this way. And Bob, by the way, sends his love and the greetings to every one of you that know who he is, and all. He says, even the ones that don't, because I love you all. And if you know Bob, you know where that came from, straight from the heart. There is in Indiana, having nothing to do with Mary Jo Hall, a group of mid-acts believers. Now, they haven't always been mid-acts, but they are now, so keep that in your mind. Because they got their start listening, like many have, even some of you, to Les Feldick, a little more. And so Les Feldick has ordered this book by the carton sometimes and gives it away all the time. And I got a phone call from a gentleman who wanted to, I had read it and wanted to order it. And then he read it and called back immediately and ordered 10 more. And then he called back and ordered 10 more, and another friend of his ordered 10 more. And in this process, I get the story of what's going on where they live, and it's near Kokomo. I guess it's just right outside of Kokomo. Mr. Titus is his name, has a cousin named Sherry, and Sherry Weeks. And Sherry called me one day, and she just says, I just want to talk to anybody that has anything to do with that book. Now, it turns out that the Tituses and the group are about 12 couples who meet for Bible study, and they have been attending an independent Baptist church for a number of years. I forgot the number. Still? No, it went off. Can't win here. You want me to be louder? Okay. I'm trying. Okay. They have been working with the pastor and his wife at this church. So he's teaching the two Gospels. He's going to teach his Sunday school class the two Gospels. And, of course, he knows Sherry, his cousin, is well-grounded because she's been studying for a long time and now has come into mid-act. So he assigns everyone a partner. So he assigns the pastor's wife to Sherry. And what we want to pass on here is this. When she called, all she wanted to do was talk to somebody that was associated with a book. She wasn't even done reading it. Because when she started giving me the testimony of the things that she's learned from this book and from how this book leads her to the Bible to learn it, like we have, you know, we've all learned to pay attention to the preposition of, haven't we? But she had missed one. She was so excited to hear it. And I just reveled. I am so blessed to be a part of this. I just reveled in her joy. It just... To be a part of it, I mean, I don't deserve it, and it's probably why God blessed me, because I'm alone, I work alone at home, and my family's gone, and it's just so nice to get phone calls from all over the country, from people that are sharing their joy. And the one that she hadn't gotten is in here, but maybe she hadn't gotten to that part of the book yet. What one do you think that was? The Gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcised. She just about flew away from the phone when she got that. She ended the conversation pretty quickly. And there is this is considered by the author a primer to the apostasy of the Christian church. Okay? You should read this one first if you haven't read The Apostasy of the Christian Church. The Apostasy of the Christian Church, that was the one that put me in touch with Mr. Barlow in the first place, because I came out of Catholicism. And when I read some of that stuff, I knew some of it, but I read stuff I had never read. Origin of the Races, I was not, obviously, as a Catholic, never raised reading a Bible. And I knew nothing about somebody called Peleg. And if you don't know anything about Peleg, you want to read about him. Talking about confirming the King James Bible, this is a good book to help you do that, because it shows you the wonders that are in it and that you won't find anywhere else. Okay? There's one more testimony on that I... I will bring you up to snuff on Bob. He has not been in China. Many people think he's still in China. He has not been well enough to get back to China. He wants to, as you know, if you're getting his newsletter, which I send out, he writes them, I send them out. His heart is there. I know he wouldn't care if he went over there and God took him to heaven. But he'd be over there with people who love him and who love this message. Another testimony. Oh, gosh, I almost forgot the part that goes with this. Oh, you don't want me to do that. A few weeks before I got the phone calls from Mr. Harry Titus. His name is Nick. He goes by Nick. I had a letter from Bob Barlow, an email, in which he shared with me an email from China. And right after that, I got one where he shared with, and that was reporting that Go Xiaobing, who we have called Bill, has returned from Tibet. and I don't know a lot of detail about why or how long or what the deal is there, but he's returned. And about a year ago, we had put a man from Indiana in touch with, or told her how to get to, in touch with Gaoxibing, because he was going to China. And he had called me and asked me if I knew how to get in touch with Mr. Barlow, so I put him in touch with Mr. Barlow, and he gave him information on getting hold of Anna, I think, who is the one who would get him in there. And so he has written Bob and told him, I've been to Chengdu twice. He didn't just go to China. He went right where Bob was. He also went to Tibet. So I don't have a lot of details on that. But that was exciting to know that he's ready to go back. He's another one who probably came into mid-axe, but started out with Feldick. And let me get my head in the right place here. Mr. Titus then called me and ordered, I think it was 20 more copies of this book. In that process, he wanted to share with me that the whole group of, I think, 12 couples had made the decision they could get no further. Sherry was going to meet one more time with the pastor's wife. And that's why she was so excited to get that information about Galatians 2, okay? And she was going to shout. I haven't heard how that turned out, other than that all 12 couples are leaving that independent Baptist church now. They just can't seem to get anywhere, so they're leaving. So they wanted to know, did I know of a church? And I said, no. The only one I knew of was South Bend, Indiana. And that was just a little bit too far for them. I wouldn't say that would be too far for me. We drove for 7 years for an hour to church every Sunday just to get to a Grace church. But anyway, one day he called and said he was out driving, just driving, only 12 to 15 minutes away from his home, and saw a sign on the road that said Grace Ambassadors. He says, gee, I wonder if they're mid-acts or even dispensationalist. So he got out and got in touch with him, and it happened to be Justin Johnston, the guy that just came back from China. yeah, that was fantastic. Then I got a call from Bob, and he told me about a friend that has been a student and supporter of Bob Barlow's for years. And he lives in Knoxville right now. And he has been teaching in a Baptist church for years. And ever since Bob has come into definite mid-acts, definite King James Bible, his friend Bob in Knoxville has been being brought along with him. He's teaching him as we go along. And now Mr. Hatch has given his testimony. Was there a special day for the King James? I mean, a certain day that was the birthday? Or was it just now, the year, the whole year? Okay, whatever. Within the last 2 weeks, the pastor of that church where he's teaching decided to attack the King James Version. When? May 2nd. Okay. It might have been the birthday, but anyway, he said that pastor at that church had decided to use the Sunday message to attack the King James Version. So Mr. Hatch said goodbye. And that's my testimony.
Okay, page 56, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And we're standing. To put the heat in perspective, I always think of Kyle, our Marine, over in Afghanistan with 110, 120 degrees, marching around, patrolling with 90 pounds of gear on. So think of our troops over there fighting for our freedoms. And I know he would say that it's nothing compared to what Christ has done for us, for our freedom. So let's just sing verses 1 and 2. Keep moving.
Ironically enough, I just came back from China. But kind of I picked one of the songs, A Wonderful Word of God. I have a precious book. Because they don't have the precious book readily to every citizen there easily in the freedoms that we have. Oh, you want me to turn it on? Okay. Whoa. All right. It's hot in here, but fortunately God's word is very cool. This in front of my face? Okay. Not too much? All right. My very first Sunday school teacher was named Lois. It was in the beginners, it was in the 4 and 5 year olds. It was back at the old Shorewood building. And what once was the nursery is where the 4 and 5 year olds met. My first Sunday school teacher was my mom, Lois. I was also very close to my grandmother, Ethel. And a long time ago, back in the day, she and her husband, my grandfather, stumbled on tent meetings being held by J.C. O'Hare. So I get quite a heritage in the grace movement from my mother and my grandmother. Today we're going to look at the lives of Lois and Eunice from the Bible, mother and grandmother to Timothy, and we're going to see their influence on him. We're basically going to look at three passages. We're just going to see the who and the what and the when. All right, please turn with me first to Acts 16, verse 1. Acts 16, verse 1, a mid-act passage right here. And what this is, comes right after Acts 16. It comes right after Acts 15, obviously, where Gentile liberties have been established. They've been confirmed, and so is Paul's apostolic authority. So we're starting in Acts 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. First off, we have, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Note, it doesn't say, came they. Paul now is the focus. You don't hear anything more of the 12 after chapter 15. He comes to Derbe and Lystra. This is his third visit here. And then it says, behold in the context. Behold is to reach for with attention, to see with the eye, to guard or to keep. Luke uses the word behold more than any other author of the Bible. He has a theme in Luke. Behold the man. Well, here we have, behold a certain disciple. Stan will say this behold is divine intervention. I don't know. It's a transitional book, but at the very least, we see there's a remarkable provision in him meeting Timothy here. We see a certain disciple. So at this time, Timothy, he's already a devoted and promising believer. He was probably saved on the Apostle Paul's first visit to Derbe and Lystra. Look back at Acts 14, verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. Paul also calls him my own son in the faith. Now, although he was saved very young through the preaching of the Apostle Paul, the influence that Lois and Eunice had on the son in grounding him in the word opened his heart to hearing the gospel. Look at Acts 16, verse 14, talking of Lydia. And a certain woman named Lydia, go down to the middle of the verse, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. This is what happened with Timothy. And then it says, named Timotheus, we find out his name. His name means honor of God or value of God. So I learned right from the beginning about Eunice is that she knew at birth or before birth how she was going to raise Timothy. And the end result, of course, was this, as verse 2 says, which was well reported of by the brethren. He is also one of the most faithful and effective co-workers of the Apostle Paul, so much so that he is named in the first verse of 6 of Paul's epistles. Okay, then we see that he is a son of a certain woman. We have the second certain. We have a certain disciple. We have a certain woman. They're connected. All modern translations take out the second certain, thus losing the connection between the mother and son and their influence on him. Satan would have us think that we don't have any influence on our children or our grandchildren or nephews or nieces. But anyways, it's a certain woman, and we find out she was a Jewish. We find out her nationality and that she believed. Now, this belief here is translated more so faithful over 54 times. It's translated faithful. So this is not just one time they believe the gospel or they believe God's word. They were into the household of God. But it means they had a perpetual growing faith. And we find out, but his father was a Greek. And there's no evidence that Timothy's father ever believed or was a believer. So, in spite of maybe making a bad decision, she obviously married someone outside the household of faith, and then the grandmother back in that day probably gave her permission to marry this person. That's a mistake, too. But they made up for it with this believed, this continued faith in God's word, and they knew how they were going to raise Timothy. So we see just a little introduction into the mother here. Kind of see their purpose or their intent. Now, in the second verse that we're going to look at, 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, we're going to see mother and grandmother name by name. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy is Paul's swan song before he dies. Last book he writes. Let's see what he occupies, one of the things he occupies his time with. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. So he's remembering something. When I call to remembrance. And when does he remember this? He remembers this when he eats, when he prays, and when he loves. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Apostle Paul penned the scriptures, and I'm sure he partook. And then look at verse 3, the end of verse 3. I have remembrance of these in my prayers night and day. And then verse 2, when he loves, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. So when he eats, he prays, he remembers this unfeigned faith. 2 Timothy, the book that documents the apostasy, contains the word remember more than any other book he wrote. Even more than in the Bible. Anyone that the Apostle Paul wrote. Why? Because remembering is very connected to a growing faith. Just look back over in 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And just some examples within 2 Timothy, the very next verse, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that they stir up the gift of God which is given thee by the putting on of my hands, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And then verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance. So remembrance is very important, and he's remembering this unfeigned faith. Back to 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. What is the unfeigned faith? Well, look at the word unfeigned. You can tell what it means just by looking at it. It's un and it's feigned. It's not feigned. So what does feigned mean? Feigned is to figure, to dissemble, kind of to pretend. It means false appearance. It means counterfeit, to conceal. Remember, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. So a feigned faith would be a faith based very anti-Paul and utilizing modern translations to conceal the mystery. They also conceal Christ and they're very soft on Satan. On the other hand, what would an unfeigned faith look like? Unfeigned faith, of course, would not be the counterfeit satanic lie program, but a faith based on God, of God, who cannot lie. It would be a faith on God's word, rightly divided. Do you guys mind saying this verse with me, 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Truth. Okay, looking back at that word, the unfeigned faith. Please take note of the middle letter in the word faith. It's I. I in the middle of the word represents the great I am. So it's just not a faith on what is believed, it's also who is believed. Look at, this is almost always, like well over 200 times translated faith. I'm going to look at four other times it's transferred something else, and I just want to show you, it kind of bears light on this. Look at Romans, keeping your hand in 2 Timothy. Look at Romans 3:26. Actually, I'm going to jump back to Romans 3:25, just because I like it. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him, and now this is the word that it's also that same word, faith, which believeth in Jesus. It's used as believeth in Jesus. See, the focus is Christ and his word. Now, please, turning back to 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. I also could be, you know, the two main characters in the Bible. You got Christ, and of course, you got Satan. You might have I in the middle of Savior. You have I in the middle of Lucifer, too. You have I in the middle of believe. You got I in the middle of deceive. Main characters. You don't want to miss out on that. It's interesting to me that modern translations, and I don't mean to pick on them, but I like to, take out, they don't use the word unfeigned. They don't use the uncounterfeit word. Really shocking, isn't it? Instead of the unfeigned faith, they put your sincere faith. Where's the focus? Focus would be on Timothy, on Lois, on Eunice, and not on who and whom is believed. As it says in verse 12, same chapter, middle of the verse, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Okay, back to 2 Timothy 1:5. Where is this unfeigned faith? It is in thee. This verse, resurrection life or spiritual life. Keeping your hand here, let's turn really quick, bearing that in mind. Remember, it's a very powerful, this unfeigned faith, believe, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Please turn with me to Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. Just kind of showing you that, follow me, there's three ins. In represents resurrection power. This is how it is. And it starts, and this verse ends with an in thee. You got in thee, and then in thee also. Now, the middle word of the verse is the word in, okay? Follow me. That means this verse contains three ins. And the number 3 is very significant in Scripture, representing resurrection power, Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to his working, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So this unfeigned faith, believed, is very powerful, and it dwells in us. Next, we're going to see Eunice named by name, which I, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. 2 Timothy mentions 25 personal names with the theme of loyalty during the apostasy, fighting the lie with the truth, just regular people. And notice it dwelt first in here. She took care of herself first. She just didn't send them off to whatever would be the equivalent of a Sunday school. It dwelt in her first. It's just like when you're on an airplane and they say, you know, in a case of emergency, this mask comes down. Secure it on yourself first before you help someone else. She had the unfeigned faith dwelling in her first. And, of course, it dwelt in her. Dwelt means to abide, to remain, to linger. So you get this idea of a residence, of some continuance, flipping back to 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Saving himself from some bad doctrine. And then also there's this idea of guarding and keeping with dwelling. You think about it. You guard, you keep, you place, you reside in. Look down in 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. Then you get the idea of guarding. It says, hold fast the form of sound words. That's hold fast. Not just hold, but hold fast. This is no limp grip. This is a grip as if your life depended on it, and your spiritual life does. And then it says the form. Form is pattern. Paul's our pattern. Hold fast the form of sound words. You know where you're going to find sound words. English-speaking people. We know again that it's in the King James Bible. And notice it says words. All the words are important. I quoted a verse earlier, and I'm going to just give your hand here. Please turn back with me. One of my favorite Old Testament verses, Jeremiah 15, 16. Probably a lot of you have it memorized. You do. It's a good one. Just wanted to see one thing out of here. Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So it's thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So all the word of scriptures make up the word. Just kind of want to see it. So you don't want to be messing with the words and taking things out or adding things in. Back to 2 Timothy 1, 13. Says, which thou hast heard of me, obviously the Pauline revelation, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing keep. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Think if you have a treasure, you might want to put it in a safe and keep it, like you're on vacation or something. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellent power may be of God and not of us. It's by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This is not a religion. This is a life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. And since we know that it dwelt in them, we got to know how does it dwell. It dwells, obviously, by faith. And faith come in hearing by the word of God. We need to read, reread, memorize, meditate, remember, and, of course, continue and believe it. Looking back, this verse was read last night. But look at 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Remember that word, behold, to see with attention? This is a reading that takes a second look. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Dropping down to verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy property may appear to all. And there's something to say for reading and rereading the scriptures. Recently, it was about 10 minutes before boarding a flight to China recently, and I got the news that my sister's husband died. I had only about 4 hours sleep. I think I was in shock. And she said, no, get on the plane. I said, I can't get on the plane. She said, no, get on the plane. And like my luggage was on there, and I got on the plane. And I just remember feeling very unsettled. And I usually carry scriptures I've copied with me. You know, they're easy to grab, easier, not so heavy. And so I pulled out Galatians 4, 5, and 6. And you might not think of Galatians 4, 5, and 6 as something you would, for comfort, you know, and grievingness, and they're not the first ones you go to. But I read it through once, and it's like, okay, I'm not comprehending this. And then by the time it was like the sixth time I read it, I thought, oh, I think I got it. But then also I also got the peace of God that only scriptures can give, the comfort and edifying that the word can give. So reading and rereading is one of the ways that the word of God can dwell in you. Once heard that on the radio that if you read your Bible 3 times a day, like you eat 3 times a day, you'd be spiritually healthy, and you wouldn't want to forget to eat so many times a day. Anyways, please turn with me now to Ephesians 3:17, just getting the idea of dwelling by faith. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ, remember, it's not just a doctrine, it's not a limit, but it's Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. If you look, just write the verse right before it, the last phrase of it, to be strengthened. Be is a standing word in Scripture, and only God's word stands you. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Okay, I just wanted to see also Christ in your hearts by faith and your strength and might by His Spirit in the inner man. Please turn with me back to 2 Timothy. Just want to say something about 2 Timothy, getting off track slightly. All the verse 15s in Timothy are significant. Remember, a strength with might by His Spirit in the inner man? The outer 15s are our enemy, our counterfeit. Then look at the last 15 in 2 Timothy. Timothy 4:15, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. That's our enemy, but where is our strength? Our strength's in the inner 15. 2 Timothy 2:15, we just quoted, so let's look at 2 Timothy 3:15. The inside 15s are our strength. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. That's our enemy. Turning away from Paul. God's word through the Apostle Paul. Of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Pastor Kurz did a study a little while ago on the different types of salvation in scriptures. He labeled this particular salvation, of course, from a child, he also was saved into eternal life. But this salvation, the salvation from intimidation. Those would intimidate you from turn from Paul, turn from the good book. I thought that was cool, though. The inner ones are a strength, the outer ones are enemy, and we're strengthened might by His Spirit in the inner man. Well, from these verses, from back in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, we learn that the unfeigned faith dwelt first in Lois and in Eunice, and then it dwelt in Timothy. That word grandmother there, it's only used once in all of the Bible. It's in this verse. And it's regarding the unfeigned faith that is passed on. Now, of course, you can't inherit true spirituality. You cannot inherit eternal life. It is a personal decision by grace through faith alone. And Christ shed blood to be sufficient payment for our sins. God loves us. Christ died for us. Believe and be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What's like passed on here, though, is a seriousness of purpose and devotion to the Word of God. Okay, next we're going to see that was kind of the who and the what. They believed. They had the unfeigned faith dwelling in them. That's what they believed. And now we're going to see when this took place in Timothy's life. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:15, verse we just read a minute ago. The verse word is "and." It's a continuation of the verse right before it. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Those word continue, remember that idea with dwelling and continuing? Just going to have a sip of water. And then, of course, of whom there would be Paul, thou hast learned them. And there from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. So he knew it from a child. Now, the word there, child, actually, to my surprise, is earlier and younger than I thought. It actually means embryo or infant, a newborn. And it does kind of ring a bell, because when I used to work in the library, there was programs called Read to Your Baby or Baby and Me. How about letting a baby's first language they learn be the language of the Word of God? Or you could take it even a step further. Scientists will say that it's good to play classical music, you know, say in your third trimester, it calms the baby. Why not read out loud the Word of God? At the very least, it'll be fun and you'll be comforted. At the very least, though, even two-year-olds and three-year-olds can memorize short verses of Scripture. I was memorizing verses before I could read. Actually, it was my father. And this can be key, you know, why or how, when or if a child who is in a Christian church will be saved at whatever age he was saved, is that I was memorizing the verses, but my father asked me, does this make sense to you? And do you want Christ your Savior right now? Just don't assume that they're understanding it. It was at that time that my spiritual light went on. Well, when I went on a cruise about a year ago, I saw a little baby. She was eating these peas. This wasn't even one. Very happily eating peas. Not Cheerios, not chips, but peas. I'm thinking, my goodness, someone from a very young age gave her an appetite for that which is good. Well, that's what Lois and Eunice wanted for Timothy. They had in their possession Proverbs 22:6. Please turn with me there. They want him the appetite for the good book. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. That's like hedging in him like cattle, because they're a bunch of wild animals. And it is in the way he should go. Charles Spurgeon once said, it's in the way that you wish you would have gone yourself. When I like how in the King James Bible you can connect and relate words. And when I think of train up a child in the way, I think of Christ's claim in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's Christ that we want to train him. I'm going to take it a step further. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4:16. And these are all coming from the same word. 1 Corinthians 4:16, as in I am the way, the truth, and the life. And 1 Corinthians 4:16. I'm going to I'm going to go actually up to verse 15. Start there. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord. He shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Notice the word, bring into remembrance. A lot of times when Paul uses remembrance, you also see it connected to a verse that says, be followers of me, follow him as you follow Christ. And it's remembrance of my ways. That's the same word as the way, the truth, and the light. So train up a child in the way you should go. This right here is the way today. And, of course, it's in Christ, following Paul as he followed Christ. Why is that important? Not only is it the will of God, but look at Acts 16:17. You got the way, you got my ways. Look at Acts 16, verse 17. The same followed Paul and us, crying, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. All the same word. Christ the way, showing my ways which be in Christ, and the way of salvation. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Believe and be saved. Just one more thing I want to show you about this verse back in 2 Timothy 3:15. Notice 14 and 15, the repetitive use of thou hast. All that thou hast in 2 Timothy are urgent concerns with the perpetuation of the Pauline message of grace. And we've read some of them already, but I'll just look at 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. What's the urgency? Truth is very quickly lost. So remember, remember, remember. Prepare. So we've seen in 2 Timothy 3:15, we've seen that Timothy, based on this foundation, embodied the verse, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The proof is in the pudding. Look at Philippians 2, 20 and 21. Philippians 2, 20 and 21. Oops, I mean 19. He was taught the word in infancy. The end result, one of Paul's most effective and faithful co-workers. In this whole study, we've seen, number one, Eunice believed to pass it on. Number two, they had the unfeigned faith dwelling in them. And number three, they taught him in infancy. Timothy, making his own personal choice. Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Now, the application for us today is to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. It's the absolute only fertile ground in which any true spirituality springs forth. Even if somewhere down the line you've gotten off the way, you made a mistake, you always can make it up with the unfeigned faith dwelling in you. We need to read. We need to believe. We need to remember, believe, and continue in God's word. Last verse I'm going to read is 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. actually, in light of the topic this week, I'll just read down to verse 17. 2 Timothy 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. And that man of God is any of you who trusted Christ as Savior. It's not just Timothy, it's not just Paul, it's us too. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Lastly, I'm just going to read the last verse of the song, Stand Fast in the Liberty where Christ hath made you free. When you're living from day to day, remember what God's word has to say. Be strong in the Lord and in his finished work, and let the word of Christ fill your soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the free gift of eternal life and sending Christ to die for our sins. That simple faith in that alone saves us. Thank you so much for your precious word of God that we have in our own language, and we can let it dwell in us and work in us, and it's powerful. That's all these things in Christ's name. Amen.